1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
So, when did you retire from active flighting? Active flying?
Oh, well, I retired, Phil, about 10 years ago because I decided I would get into the private commuter business. I could enjoy flying small planes. And, you know,
the clientele is a little more manageable.
Yeah, that, and the routes are generally within California. And I got a little, I guess it got a little old for me. Some of the younger people, the younger pilots, is kind of hotshot attitude that's, that they have come along with.
What do you mean hotshot?
Well, in the commercial airline business, there are, it's just a new breed. I don't really understand, I suppose, the way they go about their jobs. I think it's, I told my wife, I think it's because so many of these ADD kids grew up and are now adults and became pilots. And
Tell me, you're talking about commercial pilots.
That's correct.
In what ways? Are they hotshot?
Well, an example is what appeared in that flight magazine last month. If you saw it, it was the first time I'd seen it in print. Among pilots, you keep the business of flying to yourselves. And the average passenger isn't going to be is going to understand what you're talking about anyway, and I've adhered to that. But as I said, the press picked up something that you I feel the need to clarify as a former commercial pilot, and I can do that much for the men and women I used to crew with. And
well, you're referring to something that was in the press recently.
Yeah, it came out in a flight magazine last month.
What was it?
Oh, well, they apparently they canvassed, I guess, about 1,000 pilots and asked them what they would most like to see improved or regulated in a better fashion. And the majority of them reported that they wanted to see this practice of Thunderbird. You can call it, it's a glorified game of chicken, I guess, done away with. And what that is, over the years, and to my knowledge, there's never been any mishaps as the result or any injury to any passenger as the result of this game of Thunderbird. But what transpires sometimes in a cockpit over a long flight, when you're on autopilot, some of these guys get bored.
And this was reported in a trade magazine, huh?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, what is this?
Well, it's a practice that I never approved of and I never engaged in. If you're getting reports of traffic in your area, for instance, if you're on a long flight and you have reports that there's traffic in your area, and if you have already reached cruising altitude and you've got oncoming traffic, it's not uncommon to identify another aircraft that's traveling the opposite direction and adjust your altitude a little bit, see how close you can come to that aircraft, and without obviously hitting it.
You're kidding me.
Well, I mean, it's...
You're kidding me. I mean, they're trying... They're not trying to hit the other aircraft.
No, you don't try and hit it, but you... What you do is you earn points. It's a way to pass the time. I never approved of it, Phil. I never did it. I think a lot of pilots don't either, obviously.
And no aircraft has crashed as a result of this?
No, not at all.
Well, how do you know? I mean...
Well, it's just never happened. I can tell you that right now. These people are very professional, and no one ever... I've been on the receiving end of a game of Thunderbird where I've seen an aircraft pass below me or above me within sometimes several hundred feet, and generally they get you in a cockpit and they holler at you.
The other pilots?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Well, they'll say things like, you lose, or almost, you almost caught a downdraft, which is basically means it was almost a head-on. And again, I don't approve of it. When I first started flying, and I did it, it's I can tell you, it's not hard to avoid a collision. I mean, I was considered for 2 years to be one of the best at it.
So you did it when you were first flying?
Oh, yeah.
This game of, for want of a better word, it's chicken, isn't it? Only it's with commercial aircraft?
Yeah, exactly.
I find that so hard to believe that,
we have an image of the pilot, and it is a good image. You know, they are professionals. But, Phil, understand that when you're on a long transcontinental flight, or you're in a long transatlantic or trans-Pacific flight, it is very boring, and you're on autopilot, and you want to keep your skill up. You know, we are not allowed to, not that we're not allowed, but it's rare that you have the controls of an aircraft for the duration of a flight. Everything is computer now, and you've taken the pilot away from flying the aircraft for the most part. And pilots want to fly. And
well, I mean, you could take it off autopilot and fly it.
But that doesn't make up for the long times that you're not.
Well, you said that you used to play this game of chicken and you stopped. Why?
Well, I for the most part, I stopped because I had amassed like 1,250 points. I was considered the all-time champion, and they had a mock retirement for me, you know. But over the years, as I look back on it, I didn't approve of it. I don't appreciate it.
All right, now let me give our phone number out here: 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Art Griego, retired commercial aircraft pilot, about a game that they called Thunderbird. I guess they call it Thunderbird because you're up in the air. Down here with cars, we call it chicken.
But it's the same principle. You're going head on at another aircraft and avoiding it the last minute.
1-800-449-8686. There are times we've all experienced. I remember coming in for a landing at an airport, I forget where, and suddenly the plane did a very abrupt maneuver. Is this possibly attributed to that?
No, not a landing. No. No, that was probably a downdraft or maybe some unexpected. No, we never do this landing. We only do it during when we've reached cruising altitude. We say, hey, we've got oncoming traffic. You know, there's traffic going the other way. It's, you know, I think I'll put the fear of God into this guy, and you know, here I come. It never happens. I mean, you never have a crash or anything like that, but. We don't approve of it, and I know a lot of pilots don't approve it, and that's why we want it regulated out of the business. And
well, why not just stop doing it?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear that.
Why not just all the pilots get together? We're not going to do this anymore. This is a ridiculous, stupid, and with all due respect to you, Art, I don't care what you say. It sounds dangerous to me, and it certainly has got nothing to do with your job as a commercial aircraft pilot. Just stop doing it.
I mean, look at the fact that autopilot has been with us and the computer navigation's been with us for so long, and that pilots have been away from the actual act of flying for so long. The adrenaline rush that you get from Thunderbird is one that is hard to it's difficult to separate yourself from. You know, there's a lot of these guys get a little addicted to it, and I don't know if you've ever tried quitting smoking.
So you're saying that the pilots, even if they wanted to, they couldn't quit doing this, so they need to have...
Well, what we're asking for, and what a lot of us have talked about anyway, is to have an air marshal in the cockpit so that when a pilot indicates that he wants to go what we call chasing a flock or go Thunderbird, that the air marshal will either direct him not to or take him out of the pilot seat, put the co-pilot in there or something.
What's to stop the co-pilot from wanting to do it?
Well, at that point, then you have to remove both of them from the cockpit until you're coming in for a landing. No pilot is going to want to play Thunderbird coming in for a landing. So by then, you can get them back into the cockpit.
Well, what's the expense to... this is difficult for me to imagine that the expense of putting an air marshal in the cockpit to govern the pilot from playing...
Well, it's just... The price of doing business, Phil, and again, like I said...
Well, you quit. I mean...
I was able to quit because, as we say in the flight game, I'd punched through the envelope, meaning I had amassed so many points in Thunderbird that no one came close, so I had the feeling that I had, to use the old phrase, I'd kicked everyone's ass, and so there was nothing left to do. And, I don't want you to worry too much about it. I'm looking at the news right now, and I see illegal aliens running across the freeway. Now, let me tell you something. That's way more dangerous than a game of Thunderbird to break up the monotony flying transcontinental.
Yeah, but if you screw up in Thunderbird, 300 people go down, maybe 600 people. Three aliens getting hit on a freeway is no comparison.
Well, I mean, I tell that to some of your the liberal listeners out there. I think that they would... I think your liberal listeners would consider the deaths of three Mexicans far more significant. But look, we had 3,000 people killed during 9/11, but for the most part now, the American people don't consider that as bad as having George Bush in there as president.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I can tell you it's true. Most people are willing to accept 3,000 dead Americans if it means getting rid of Bush. I mean, we're experts. There is no way the two aircraft are ever going to collide. We just would rather guys not do it. Because, in my case, you know, I've got ego reasons.
All right, well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Excuse me. Art Griego joins us here on the Phil Henry Show, a former commercial pilot, talking about, and this was in a magazine last month, a game called Thunderbird. It's chicken, only using commercial aircraft. Oncoming traffic, let's go up 3,000 feet and just kind of whiz by the guy. Says it's been going on. He did it. He stopped. Most pilots would like it to stop, but they're too addicted to it. They need to have air marshals in the cockpit with them to make them not do it. And he also, that last comment was really floored me. He said, most Americans, to most Americans now, 3,000 people dead in the World Trade Center isn't as bad as having George Bush as president. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
You know what we used to do with guys like you? We'd leave your butt up with a flower in it.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well,
no, as we had gotten in-flight meal in the cockpit, and I had a first officer by the name of Bill Hundrell, and Bill had a very bad gas problem, and apparently the passengers in first class, that's how bad it was.
Could smell it.
Yeah.
Man. All right, I'm back here with Art Griego as we're talking about the game of Thunderbird, which apparently has been going on with commercial airline pilots for many years. It's a airborne form of chicken, and it is a game where you're basically head-on at another aircraft. And I can't imagine flying an aircraft in excess of 300 miles an hour straight at another aircraft and then avoiding it.
Well, you're not really going straight out. What you're doing is you're getting up close to a similar altitude. I've seen aircraft pass within several hundred feet below me or above me.
You know, I was flying to, Marie and I were flying to Europe a few summers ago, and we came over the British Isles. I'll never forget this because it was the morning. We had been flying all night. It was now in the morning, and the morning, you know, the light was up.
Yeah.
And I saw right underneath us an RAF jet, a British Air Force jet, just sail. Now, are you telling me that's what that was?
That might have been the pilot of your aircraft thought he, you know. There gets a little bit of ego going when you got some of these military flyboys who think that they're all that. And so, you want to put a little scare into them.
You're telling me that my pilot tried to put scare into some RAF jet pilot?
Well, it could have been. Or the other way around. I don't know.
But you're telling me the British Air Force was doing this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the point is, you get your back up a little bit when you see some of these flyboys with the star. You know, they see the USAF on the wing or RAF or whatever, and you know, you kind of think to yourself, "Oh, there they are." I guess they don't think their stuff smells. You know, right? Well, let's see if you know they want to sack up. They want to play with the big boys. This kind of thing. It's childish, Phil. It's stupid, but it's not dangerous. We just would rather not do it. And we'd rather not have to do it. And
then but just quitting isn't... You want to put an air mark. Can't you just stop doing it?
We try and we can't because it's how boring the transcontinental flights are. We've got to do it, and I need an air marshal there to tell me not to do it. To give you the, you know, to give you the long and the short of it.
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show with Art Griego, former commercial pilot on the game of Thunderbird. Looks like chicken in the air. Stephanie, hi, you're on The Phil Henry Show. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi, I was just saying that it's one thing to say that you're awesome at what you do, and it's another thing to say that you're perfect enough that you can take that kind of a risk with 300 people on board.
Well, no, ma'am, it's not a risk. I mean, we know what we're doing. I mean, I in this ridiculous game, and I'll give you that, it's stupid, I amassed the all-time record was 1,250 points.
I mean, what were you doing? You guys keep score?
Yeah.
How do you get points?
Well, it's the number of feet separating you from the other aircraft.
So you came the closest of any pilot?
Basically, yeah. In other words, the number of feet over the years amounted to 1,250 feet.
How many aircraft?
Probably about four or five.
Well, that's 300 feet per plane.
That's pretty close, yeah.
Is that it, Stephanie?
I'd also like to mention...
I can almost hear Stephanie go, wow, you know, that is pretty awesome.
Well...
Jesus, dude.
I think that if you were in maybe private planes and private jets, mistakes happen in every field. And to say that a mistake is completely impossible is untrue, in my opinion. And
well, I could see
to
how
risk
think
it...
That. I could see how you'd think that. But, Stephanie, I want you to remember that when we're taking on pilots of fighter jets and putting the fear of Jesus into them, you can imagine how good we are.
So, in other words, you guys do occasionally take...
Well, as I indicated, or like that guy that you saw over England, that RAF flyer, I bet you he went home and he was looking into the bowl before he pulled the chain. Because...
Well, this is exactly what the lady's going to. A mistake is a mistake with another commercial aircraft. You make a mistake with an F-16 or whatever the hell those things are.
Those guys are way overrated.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, in comparison to some of us who've been flying commercially for thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. But I wouldn't, Stephanie, don't worry about it.
I would recommend that anybody who gets in an aircraft go to the pilot and say, no Thunderbird. Let them know, you know what I'm saying? Let them know that you know.
Well, you can tell them that, and they'll just look at you and smile.
Yeah.
Well, I was afraid of flying before I heard this, and now it's a little worse.
Well,
I will admit.
No, you can't worry about it. Look, at the safest way to fly, statistically, the safest way to travel statistically is flying. You are as safe in an aircraft as you are in your mother's arms. And
with a guy up at the controls playing Thunderbird? Yeah, come on, man.
Well, you know, what you're doing is you're scaring this lady. You're putting this, you're scaring this woman. I'm telling Stephanie, don't worry about it. Even with me taking on, let's say we're flying transcontinental to New York, and I see scrambling out of an airbase in Wichita or one of the airbases in Illinois, a few F-16s scramble out, and I want to have some fun. Even with four or five F-16s in an extended game of Thunderbird over four states, you will land in New York safe and secure.
Can you guarantee it 100%?
Yes. Well, no, can any pilot guarantee safety 100%? No.
But I'm sure my chances decrease when you play Thunderbird.
My advice, bring on board a bottle of Thunderbird.
All right. Stephanie, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. You're kidding about that F-16.
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to let her know that's how good I am.
That's how good you are at what? At flying?
At flying, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Benita. Benita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there, Mr. Grego. In hearing the last few comments you made, I just want to tell you that a couple hundred thousand miles in the air doesn't mean anything, because I drive hundreds of thousand miles per year, and I wouldn't dare to play chicken down a speedway with somebody.
These are professionals.
300 other people in my vehicle.
You're not a professional, per se, driver. You don't make your living driving. We make our living
driving. Well, I actually do. I'm not a race car driver, but I do make my living driving.
What do you do?
And I'm a representative for Arizona statewide, and I do union work.
Okay, well, your living driving. You make your living at a job that requires you to drive. But that's not your living.
Which, in my opinion, you're making your living driving people, assuring their safety, and it's definitely not a very safe thing to be playing chicken in the air. I did want to touch on another comment that you made about President Bush.
Right.
I'm totally with you that we definitely don't need him there. But
you, in other words, you think he's worse than the 3,000 people who died in New York?
I don't think that tolerating Bush.
Well, wait, you think that the 3,000 people who died are no big deal compared to Bush?
No, I think it is a big deal,
big a deal as Bush.
Well, I would focus.
There
on
you go, Phil.
Let's
talk about. So, why would the aircraft be such a big thing to this lady when she doesn't care about 3,000 people jumping to their death?
I didn't care about 3,000 people jumping to their death.
Yeah,
what I said was...
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now look, you old catcher's mitt.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, what do you mean 3,000 people died to World Trade Center? That, whatever that's got to do with this, I don't know. We're talking with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, about playing chicken, basically, in the air as a commercial pilot. You see, this is a widespread practice by all commercial pilots flying head-on at each other. You earn points by how many feet the guy closest to the other aircraft. Without veering, is that it?
Yeah, without veering away.
So you'd go straight at these guys, knowing...
Well, that's straight, but within a few hundred feet.
And you would not try to avoid that other aircraft?
No.
Well, how can you be sure, then, that you're not going to hit head-on?
Because I know these other guys. Generally, you know them by the airline. If you knew that you had a guy coming head-on at you from American... You would veer. You wouldn't even take him on. Those guys are fearless. The guys that you know that you knew were kind of you could probably back the guys down from this, you know, like Southwest, because all those guys want to do is just get people to their destination. They don't, you know, they're not really all that good at it. Then maybe he'll go head to head with you if you got just a few people on board.
Just by knowing what airline, you knew which guys were chicken and which guys weren't.
Yeah, pretty much. Delta Airlines. Those guys are. Good pilots, but they don't have any guts when it comes to Thunderbird. I'd say the guys who, you know, you want to look out for, the transcontinental guys, because by the time they're landing, they're in no mood. Now, you take, for instance, British Airways, Air New Zealand, Japan Airlines. These guys are used to flying a lot of miles, and they'll dance, as they like to say, they'll dance with anybody.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Are we taking five? Are we taking line five? Hey, Wayne. Wayne! Are we taking line five or not? 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 Because I don't see it on the screen down here in the message box. You got two names there. Well, no, I look at, see down there? This is Doug and Mark. Nope, not Ellen's on top of them.
Are you guys having an argument?
No, my Wayne's my producer. I just didn't know which one he went. Let's go to Ellen. Ellen, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Sorry, but
hi.
I was trying to figure out which call to go to. Go ahead.
I have a few things to say to Art, because for over the past 16 years, I've been in the business of keeping these guys separated here. So I think I know a little what I'm talking about. Is he talking transcontinental across the continent of the United States, or is he talking over the ocean? Because if he's talking from one end of the country to the other, they've got sophisticated radar at the centers where I work, and that has a conflict alert that tells when aircraft are getting too close together.
Right.
And it's negligent for the controllers to let that happen. They also
have something
in the last few years on board the aircraft.
I got an earache from all the times I've had air traffic controllers screaming in my headset.
Yeah, and they've got something on board the aircraft now that's called traffic collision avoidance system.
Right. It's a voice that goes collision,
mm-hmm.
collision. Yeah, I know
right.
about it.
Yeah,
right.
And they give them, and it gives them direction.
You know you can turn that off, too.
Well,
you're kidding. You turn that thing off?
Now, wouldn't it? But if a pilot
Ellen, you just go to work every day with your little gravity boots on, and we do what we do, and don't worry about it.
Oh, we have to worry about it. We get you guys. If now, I think you're full of crap because
I think you're full of crap because I know that most of you guys that are working air traffic control were brought in after the strike. Are you union?
Absolutely.
Well, they busted the old union, and they brought in a whole lot of new folks. And I don't know. You know, I don't know who's in. I don't know who's talking to me now.
Are you kidding me, man? That union, they busted the union back in 81, man. That's 25 years ago.
Well, the only thing that I agree with you about is that a lot of pilots, they think they're infallible. You know, we deal with that a lot.
Look, how do you know wearing your pressed blue slacks and your petroleum-based shoes and a little bow tie and, you know, we're up in the air, Ellen.
Yes, I know.
We're
I've been up in the air, and I've been in the cockpit.
Well,
because
that's
before 9/11,
they
let air traffic controllers in the cockpit, and I've seen air traffic come at you head on. And there's 1,000 or 2,000 feet separation.
Right.
I tell you, how do you tell what airline that is? You see the contrail.
Oh, I know. I can tell by the guts of the pilot. I can tell by who's got the guts and who doesn't. See, you're not a pilot. You don't know our world.
You said you wouldn't take on American because they're, you can't tell.
Can I ask something?
400, 500,
I'm not talking about,
you got that closure rate. You
what,
can't tell.
What airport are you? I'm not talking about Torrance Municipal Airport here, okay? I'm talking about a major international airport.
Oh, no, you said you wouldn't do it on landing. You're
no, I'm asking you, where do you work? Where do you work? At El Monte Municipal?
Do that on landing. You're talking about breaking up the boredom mid-flight, across the country. I worked at a center in the middle of the country. And
okay,
we
it's a little,
on you guys, and
yeah.
There's no way you bust an
oh,
out.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I know. You worked in Sioux City the day that Delta flight went head over heels. Yeah, nice going. But
oh, come on, man.
Well, he busted my castanets.
I'm only saying what it is. What
can I ask you? How many planes have crashed on your watch? See
how many? So, how many airlines have we let play chicken? Come on, there's no way that happens.
You can't tell me what to do.
Absolutely, there's no way that happens.
You cannot tell me what. Maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe it does. But one thing's for sure, you can't tell me what to do.
You're just telling everybody in the country that this happens on a regular basis.
Well, I'm telling everybody in the country right now.
I've got a little more credibility here because
I'm telling everyone in the country, you can't tell me as an air traffic controller what to do.
Well, she sure can. Otherwise, you're in violation of federal law.
Absolutely.
How fast do those model airplanes go?
Oh, model airplanes.
Why'd you race in the parking lot on a weekend?
Yeah, right.
All right, so what? Belittling this lady isn't going to get the point driven home anymore. Belittling this lady.
The biggest admission that was made this hour was that lady who called and said 3,000 people cooking alive in the World Trade Center are not as important as her and her cat and her kid flying to Sacramento.
Is that what it is? Is this an agenda? A political agenda?
No, I just proved a point.
An agenda. And he doesn't want to talk about this because everything coming
agenda.
Out of his mouth is crap.
No, everything
I mean, there's
you're
no way
the one with the agenda.
Verify any of this.
Ma'am,
and
I was a guest. You're a caller. You have the agenda.
No, you're the guest coming on here and pitching this stuff.
Yeah, he has an agenda.
I'm telling you what
he's telling people in the entire country, I can say this affirmatively does not happen because there are safeguards against that.
Turning the propeller and making sure the rubber band is all the way twined around is not the same as taking a transcontinental flight on a jumbo. Now, you can talk about all you want as
well. She's not talking about that. She's talking about being an air traffic controller.
About working.
She sits in front of her TV set with it turned off and a fake.
I'm talking about working in the
microphone.
Middle of the country where you've got guys coming together and you're turning them. I'm talking about working at a sector in the middle of the country when there's a line of thunderstorms going from Lake Superior, Texas, and you've got the only hole in the country.
Right.
And and these people that I work with do a fine, excellent job. And
is it fine or is it excellent?
That you would degrade the profession.
I'm degrading my profession.
No,
you're degrading. You're an air traffic controller trying to tell me what to do. I wear wings. I fly.
Somebody better tell you what to do.
I fly. Well, I'm not going to take advice from you. You go and you bring your lunch in a bag. You sit in front of a TV screen. You watch the little blip go around. I wear wings. I'm a pilot. I got a hat. I got a jacket.
How long were you a pilot, sir? Because I'm guessing you're not flying anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Are those Snoopy the Red Baron planes considered an antique these days?
I'd like to know what airline you flew with and how long ago you retired.
Yeah, she's an air traffic controller for those biplanes.
Do you know what a center is, sir? Because I'm thinking you're not really an air
traffic controller. Yeah, I know what a center is. Ma'am, I know what a center is. It's a place where they put people like you.
Well, then you know we don't talk to a whole lot of... We talk to mostly professional airline pilots.
You're talking to crop... See, I got something else. She talks to a lot of crop dusters. What, do you keep the traffic clear out there over the cornfield?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Because I can tell she works
at a Midwest center, and I'm working at an East Coast center right now.
The fact is, I got that one lady to say.
There are times that air traffic controllers talk to people on the ground and all the way up to flight level 600.
I'd like to make this point at this time. Most of these people care more about themselves, their cat in the cat carrying cage down below, their kid, and whether or not they got their magazines, than 3,000 people who cooked in the World Trade Center.
Hey, there he goes again with that World Trade Center thing. I'm thinking this man
that
is trying
Trade
to tell
Center
everybody
thing.
In the country how much he cares about that. And he doesn't care about the people that are flying. And he's giving them a whole line.
This is for you.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Say that again.
I said that people are worried about airline pilots playing Thunderbird, but I don't hear anyone commenting on the gay people, you know, the gay parents at the Easter egg roll.
What about it? What, gay parents at the what?
At the White House Easter egg roll, there were gays at this thing, gay parents. Now, everyone's calling up, and they want to tar and feather me for something that I did that I don't do anymore, but I never got anybody killed. Meanwhile, there's gays crashing a White House Easter egg hunt, and you've got people jumping out of buildings in New York. But
you know what? The gay folks at the White House, big wow. I mean, that's cool.
That's cool. I mean, we live in a time with family values.
Oh, don't get out of here with that, will you? 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to, here is Doug. Doug, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Right on, Phil. Hey, nice show. I just started listening to the All Station not too long ago and out here in Phoenix on 101.5. And I got to tell you something. I love art. imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And I don't think art, especially airline pilot, but he gives it a good shot. And,
what do you mean imitation is the new? What are you talking about? Are you a pilot?
Now we're
talking about. Are you a pilot?
But,
are you a pilot?
Yes,
are you a pilot?
I am. Yeah.
You are? Where?
Where?
Yeah.
I'm out for America West.
Isn't that the flight that you took, Phil, that the toilets didn't flush?
I took a flight on an America West. Yeah, the toilet was jammed up.
Yeah, isn't that the airline you said you'd never fly again?
It's not about me. All right, 1-800-44. It ain't about me, okay? It's about the fact.
No, you said that you flew on America West, and you said that it was an abortion of it.
No, I didn't say abortion, and we're not talking about that. Mark, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I think this guy is just full of BS. Just from the.
Well, it's nice to hear from all these professionals tonight.
Well, you know, you talked about traffic and collision avoidance system earlier. What exactly does it say to you when it goes off?
Let me ask you something. Who's asking the question?
I've been a commercial airline pilot for the last 12 years, over 10,000 hours.
It goes alert, alert, something like that.
No,
it something doesn't. Like that, huh?
Nothing.
He knows
like
what
that.
It says. I'm not going to.
Basically, you're telling me you don't know what you're
it
talking
says,
about.
It says crash, crash. Get you know.
No,
out of the way. What are you laughing at?
Well, what does it say, man?
If you look, traffic,
they gotta
and then
test
it
that
gives
thing.
You a resolution advisory telling you to either climb or descend. It says nothing about collision. It says nothing about crash.
Yeah, it does. It says collision alert.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
that
it does.
Shows how little you know.
No, it shows how little you know.
What type of airplane did you used to fly?
What kind of parachute do I wear?
What kind of airplane
I don't wear a parachute. I have confidence in my ability to fly.
He didn't say this. So what kind of airplane did you fly?
It was a, what kind? All kinds of equipment.
What was your last equipment that you retired on?
The last equipment I retired on was a bag of golf clubs. I'll tell you
that
right
now. What was the last aircraft that you flew?
It was a Boeing 7-something.
See, that tells me right there, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't even tell me what airplane you flew.
What airplane do you fly?
I fly a Boeing 757, thank you very much.
All the time?
All the time, because if you were a commercial airline pilot, you would know that you're only qualified on one type aircraft at a time.
And you've never flown anything else?
I didn't say that. You're only qualified on one at a time.
Well, how many guys can fly two planes at a time? Wow.
He's not talking about that.
When you're a commercial airline pilot, you're only authorized to fly one at a time.
You're the guy that can get into two jets at once. What, do they go in the opposite directions? And you call me nuts.
He said, when you get a license, you only fly one.
Look, let me ask this guy. What's worse, 3,000 people dying in the World Trade Center or 300 people dying in a plane crash?
That has nothing to do with it. That's not the topic.
All right, we've got
to
take a break.
Well, go ahead.
I'm just trying to cover up the fact that you were never a pilot. You're making
this up. No, I am a pilot.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-989-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Airline pilot, or are you not?
Yes, I am a real airline pilot.
You are?
Yes.
Will you turn that off, bud?
Who's bud?
Never mind.
Well, you can't answer my question, but I got to answer.
Are you a real airline pilot?
Yes.
Have you ever played the game Thunderbird?
Yes.
You've actually tried to crash into other airplanes?
No. Thunderbird is actually a game that we played with an empty bottle of Thunderbird.
Is there such a game as some air flight chicken?
No, but I got that one guy to admit that, I forget,
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Sorry.